glory far. For mighty works are decreed and strengthen every heart. Come take possession of thine own and nevermore depart. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, thy floodgates of blessing on us throw open wide. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, that sinners be converted and thy name glorified. All self consume, all sin destroy, with earnest zeal endue. Each waiting heart to work for thee, O Lord, our faith renew. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, thy floodgates of blessing on us throw open wide. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, that sinners be converted and thy name glorified. Speak, Lord, before thy throne we wait, thy promise we believe, and will not let thee go until the blessings we receive. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, thy floodgates of blessing on us throw open wide. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, that sinners be converted and thy name glorified. Amen. Praise God.
Let's remain standing for prayer, and as we look to the Lord to seek God's blessings and the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon our service today to bless our hearts, we're happy this morning to have Brother Fred with us. Would you lead us, please, in our prayer this morning? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And welcome to our services today. A couple of announcements we want to make. One of them is, and we'll do this before our Bible reading, if I may. We have a letter here that came from Linda Evans. I read it to the folks at Sunday school this morning, but I wanted to share it with all of you here. You know, Linda has cancer. They haven't been able to be in church in a long time. And she's had operation. She's taking chemo treatments and things like that. She's been on our prayer list, and let's keep her up there right on top of it. But many of you have tried to make calls. You can't get through. They won't answer the telephone for you or for me or anybody else. If you don't like it, fuss at Roger. That's his problem. And anyway, he's kind of her nurse, and he doesn't want her disturbed, he says. So you'll excuse them for that. But she does appreciate the cards that she gets from you, which she mentions here. She says to Pastor R.C. and our dear brothers and sisters at Bible Baptist, just a note to thank you all for your prayers and well wishes. I have survived 3 rounds of chemo and now surgery. With the considerable support from my constant nurse and protector, Roger. I'm glad she mentioned her husband in that. Still have another 3 rounds at least of chemo to complete the treatment plan. Then, not sure after that. I am secure in God's hands, but can't deny the situation gets me down sometimes. Your cards have given me cheer at different times. Thank you all so much. Love in Christ, Linda Evans. So keep her in your prayers, if you will. And Billy Bull, who's usually with us, sitting over here by Sandra, is in the hospital. She had a terrible fall yesterday in her front yard and hit her head on a concrete step and busted it open, injured her left shoulder. You'll know she's still wearing a support on her right wrist, which was broken by a fall she had earlier, a few months earlier. She is in the same trauma unit out in San Diego, Hillcrest area there, where I was about this time, what was it, 3 weeks ago or 4, whenever it was. And so that's where she is today. So keep her in prayers also, if you will. And another announcement, this next Sunday. Now this is kind of tentative. I'll find out definitely tomorrow. And hopefully it will be in the affirmative. But next Sunday, we will have a preacher with us visiting from the Calvary Baptist Church up here in Temecula. You know where Temecula is? He's a brother, Joe Langley, will be preaching here next Sunday morning. His pastor up there is Brother William. We call him Bill Wrench. And so, the Lord willing, the creek don't rise, we'll have him in our services next Sunday morning. So remember that and come out to hear him, okay? And now then, let's have our Bible reading. Brother Mac.
Good morning. I read this morning from John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto the death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walks in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him.
Amen.
These things said he, and after he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking the rest of in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this. She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God,
Amen.
Which should come into this world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping what came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaned in spirit, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloth, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. One more quick announcement. If all the men of the church would stay in the auditorium here after church for a short meeting. I believe it's going to be a good meeting. We're going to talk about a couple things. We need to try to get a work day, do a few things around here on our own. We're going to try to change things. We've been trying to get things done, but talking to a few of the men here, I think we can do what we need to do. So if you guys would stay afterwards, we're going to talk about a few things. Amen. Let's see. Number 417, 417. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burning of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done, he suffered on the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I renewed my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. Amen. Would you all rise and turn over to 519, and we'll have our offering after this song. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercy. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen.
Before we go to prayer this morning, I would like to remind you to keep our little great-grandson over in Phoenix in your prayers. He's back in the hospital, and he still has his cancer and is having a pretty rough time of it. So please keep him in your prayers, if you will. Brother Bob, lead us in prayer.
Father, we just thank you again. We can gather here as fellow believers. And we just want to bring up Linda, Sue, Miles, dealing with this cancer. We just pray that for recovery for each one of them. Pray for any that are not able to be here today. Pray for Billy in the hospital. Pray for recovery. We just ask this offering be used to put the gospel here and our missionaries abroad. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We've got a couple of specials here that we want to share with you before I start preaching. Brother Fred, will you come? We're glad that Brother Fred's here with his guitar, and he's going to come up here and sing us a good song.
Thank you.
I don't know if that microphone is on or not. Is it on? Nope. Come up here. Come up here and sing. Use this one. Here you go.
Wait a minute. She goes up higher when I get up higher. It's called One Day Closer Home. Can't believe another year has passed. Can't believe I'm 1 year older. Is time really moving fast? Or am I just growing slower? But I have this consolation. As the years grow swiftly on, knowing that with each passing day, that I'm one day closer home. One day closer home, one less day till I see Jesus, one more day to tell somebody, God's the only one who'll free us. If I live to see tomorrow, when this day is past and gone, no, I don't feel any older, but I'm one day closer home. People stay for a rainy day, but the rains come so fast. Earthly treasures just pass away. What's done for Christ will last. So I'm planning for my future, and somewhere around God's throne, knowing that with each passing day, that I'm one day closer home. One day closer home, one less day till I see Jesus, one more day to tell somebody, God's the only one who'll free us. If I live to see tomorrow, when this day is past and gone, no, I don't feel any older, but I'm one day closer home. No, I don't feel any older, but I'm one day closer home. Thank you.
That's wonderful. One day closer home. One of these days, we're going to be there. We're going to be home. Oh, yeah. And it'll be wonderful, our reunion with our loved ones and such as that. I am constantly reminded that I am getting old and senile. I can't preach anymore. I would like to finish out 65 years in the ministry. It was on the 19th of June of 1950 when I surrendered my life to the Lord. I gave myself without reservation to Him, put my life in His hands. He has seen fit to use me. Satan fights every step of the way. And sometimes when he sees you getting old, he say, I can take advantage of this old man, you know. And then God comes to the rescue. And God is the one who has been my support and has kept me in the ministry. And I just turn my life over to Him and say, Lord, You deal with my enemies any way You want to. Just leave me alone and let me keep going for Jesus. That's all I want to do. I know I'm getting old. I don't have to be reminded of it. But anyway, we're one day closer home. I go out yonder to Miramar National Cemetery, and I stand on the grave of my wife, who's about 10 months ahead of me so far, and I say, honey, one of these days I'll be joining you here. My body will be here, but I will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to be here as long as I can and keep preaching the word. So if you'll put up with an old senile man a few more days, we'll make it to 65. Brother Johnny, will you come up here and sing a song for us? I ought to get you to sing two because we didn't have one from you last Sunday.
Good morning, everyone. You know, there's been a sad trend I've been noticing over the last few years. When Easter, Resurrection Sunday, you know, there's a lot of hoopla leading up to it and on that day. But when Monday comes, Jesus Christ is put on the back burner. There's no mention of his name. No one don't want to mention his name. But you know, not so with me. You see, what my Lord did for me on that rugged cross of Calvary, he died for my sins, and he was risen that resurrection morning for me. Every morning that I wake up and get out of bed is resurrection day for me. Amen.
Right.
Amen. And if the enemy of my soul had realized that, he would not have killed the King of Glory. As the evening sun set o'er Jerusalem, Satan forces, they celebrated victory. But their laughter turned to fear, their celebration turned to fright. For after what they saw in that morning light, for they saw angels robed in white, and the stone rolled away. Grave clothes neatly folded in the place where Jesus lay. Now Satan knew that it was all over and that he had lost the fight. When he saw an empty tomb in that morning light. Now, let me tell you about Mary. You see, her eyes were swollen from all the tears she cried. Oh, she wondered if her broken heart would ever mend. Now as she looked into the tomb, hope came into sight. For after what Mary saw in that morning light, for she saw angels robed in white, and the stone rolled away. Great clothes neatly folded in the place where her Jesus lay. Now Mary knew that it was all over and that everything would be all right. But when she saw that empty tomb in the morning light, now Mary knew that it was all over
and that everything will be all right. Oh, when she saw that empty tomb in that morning light.
Hey, I'm gonna see him one day in that morning light, Pastor. Woo-wee! Praise God, hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Johnny. And thank you, Brother Fred, for your beautiful song there. Appreciate that good music. Remember the service tonight, 6 o'clock. Come out and be with us in our evening service. This morning, I have 3 texts that I want to read, and then we're going to be speaking about Jesus Christ. He's the one that we're talking about. That's why we're here. In John chapter 1, verse 29, we have our first verse here. Our message is about the lamb, the thief, and the lion. 3 points. In the context of John chapter 1, verse 29, we have Jesus who is going to begin his earthly ministry. The reason why he came down to this earth was to minister, to preach. The kingdom of God is at hand. The scripture says the next day, John, that's John the Baptist now, he's got a 6-month start on Jesus, and he's out there preaching and baptizing people under repentance. John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, listen to this. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. That's yours and it's mine. If we let him. If we let him. He's not coming into your life and tackle you out here and tie your hands and your feet together behind your back and remove your sins. You're going to have to let him do it. You're going to have to be consenting to it to get rid of your sins. Now, he's the one, though, that takes them away. Now, we go to Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Now, a thief is kind of like a robber. The difference, I think, is that if somebody's going to rob you, they're going to take a knife or a gun and they're going to stick it up to your heart or your body and say, give me your valuables. That's robbery. A thief will sneak up behind you and lift up your coattail and take your billfold out of your pocket and turn and walk away with it, and you'll not even know it. A thief will break into your house when you are not there and go in and strip your house of its valuables and take off, and you won't even know it. That's the difference between a thief and a robber. Jesus is saying, behold, I come as a thief. You're not going to know it, see? Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. The third one is Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, that's under John, who's writing the book of Revelation, weep not. Why? Because he was crying. That's why. He says, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So we have in these verses the Lamb, the thief, and the Lion. But let me call your attention, first of all, to this word, behold. Behold. That means to look, to stare at, to concentrate your eyesight on. Now there's a great deal of scripture that's given to this word, behold. You start reading over in Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, and you will run across this word, behold, 222 times. Remember that. 222 times. Now, that word behold is the stop, look, and listen sign that you see down by the railroad track. It means stop. It means observe, look. Look to the left, look to the right, and listen. If you hear a train whistle, you stay stopped. Don't pull out on that track. That train will hit you. Behold is the stop, look, and listen when you get to a railroad track, because it introduces a new thought or an important doctrine. The word behold is associated with every major doctrine in the Bible. Whether it is to drink of that everlasting water that quenches your thirst, or whether it marks the end of the law, the beginning of grace, or if it's introducing a new phase in the life of Christ. It is behold, stop, look, and listen to what God is saying. That's the word behold, and we've got it here three different times. And what is it telling us here? Behold, three separate appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb. Behold, the thief. Behold, the Lion. Now let's look at these individually. Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb finds its way into the scriptures back in Genesis chapter 3. Because back there we have Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Think what that must have been like. Beauty and perfection. No sin. But then they sinned against God. They broke His commandment. And then they tried to hide themselves from God. It's hard to hide from God. You think He doesn't know what's going on. You're the one that's the fool. You're not fooling God. God knows all things, even the end from the beginning. He knows the outcome. Now, they tried to hide from God in the bushes of Eden. God found them. And when he found them, he saw them clothed in their fig leaves, which they had made themselves. But God shed some blood. The first blood that was ever shed on the face of the earth was shed by the Lord. It was the blood of an animal. I believe it was a lamb. And God killed that animal to provide clothing for Adam and Eve. He did it for them, the skins of innocent animals. Now, that lamb is also found in the first sacrifice that was ever made. Cain and Abel, they're going to worship the Lord. Cain brought of the fruits of the ground. Abel brought a lamb and shed its blood. And God showed favor to Abel's sacrifice. And Cain got mad about it. And so he rose up and killed his brother Abel. But the climax comes when you get over the book of Exodus, chapter 12. That's when God said to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, he said, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt tonight at midnight. And he said, all of the firstborn will die. From Pharaoh down to the bottom. Death. But he said to the Israelites, if you will take a lamb and kill that lamb, shed its blood, catch it in a basin, then take some weeds out here and dip it in that blood and sprinkle that blood on the sides and over the top of the door. He said, at midnight when I pass through the land, I will see that blood and I will pass over you. That's why it's called the Passover. And today, whenever a sinner comes to Jesus Christ and confesses their sins and accepts Jesus Christ into their hearts as their personal Savior, God forgives their sins. And in type, the blood of Jesus Christ is sprinkled on the lintels and the doorpost of our heart's door, and God says, I will pass over you. We become His, blood-bought children of God. Now, carrying it a step further, it was the blood of the lamb that was sprinkled on the mercy seat in the tabernacle and later on in the temple that covered the sins of the Israelites, all of them, for 1 year. It had to be renewed every year. But it was the blood of the Passover lamb sprinkled by the high priest. Now that is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he was both the Lamb of God, who shed his blood and rose from the dead to sprinkle his blood on the heavenly mercy seat to make atonement for your sins and for mine. Now, whether you accept that atonement or not is up to you. But the atonement has been made by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, all the way through the Old Testament, They did that until Christ came. And what did John say? Behold the Lamb of God that what? Covereth our sins? No, my sins are not covered. My sins are taken away. Yours may be covered, but mine are taken away. They're eliminated. They've been blotted out. They've been buried in the depths of the deepest sea. That's where my sins are. How about yours? Amen. All right. Now the blood, the Lamb. The Lamb is always a symbol of innocence. Years ago, when I lived out in West Texas, I had a little lamb that a rancher gave me for my kids. They're worse than a kitty cat to take care of. They're worse than a dog. They're worse than a parakeet. I've had all kinds of pets like that, but that lamb, they demand a lot of attention. You know, I got pictures of my kids feeding them out of a bottle. They're sweet little old things to have around, but you got to be around them too much. They're too demanding of your time. Now, the lamb is an innocent animal. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, was innocent. Jesus Christ, you can't accuse him of any sin. He didn't do anything wrong. Jesus challenged his people there that climbed on top of him one day and says, which of you convinceth me of sin? They couldn't do it. He was blameless. Sin is also a symbol of meekness and patience. When Jesus was railed upon, when he was despised and insulted and mocked, he opened not his mouth. Whether it was before Annas the high priest, or Caiaphas the high priest, or whether it was before Pontius Pilate, or before Herod, he opened not his mouth. He was as meek, they say, as a lamb. Now the lamb is a very useful creature. Its flesh is meat, and its wool is clothing, and so is Christ. His flesh is our meat. Jesus talks about us eating of him, feasting on him, and he also provides us the garment of righteousness. He clothes us with the garment of salvation. And when God puts that cloak of salvation on you, that he has made especially for you, there is nobody that can rip it off. The devil will try. He'll grab a hold of it with both hands and try to strip it off of you. But he can't do it, because God's bigger than he is. Now John the Baptist tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. The whole world was guilty. The whole world was wretched and helpless and hopeless and already condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. You don't have to wait until the great white throne judgment to find out if you're going to hell or not. You're going to hell right now if you are condemned. Judgment has already been passed. That judgment has to be lifted. Christ is the only one that can take it away. Now, he not only takes away the guilt of sin, but he also takes away the pollution of sin. His blood cleanses us from all sin. And he makes us fit subjects for that celestial city that he's going to prepare for us. And I want you to notice that we are to behold Christ alone. It is not Jesus and, it is Jesus, period. No one else is able. We're not asked to behold sacrifices, our rituals, our ceremonies, because Jesus Christ, by his one sacrifice, put away sin forever. He blotted them out. Now, John, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," John knew that Jesus was the only hope for this sin-cursed world. He knew that Jesus was the only cure for this self-righteous world. The only hope for every individual. So he pointed him out. This man with the look of eternity on his face. This man with the burden of sin upon his shoulder. This man with the shadow of the cross across his life. And he cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But now then, Revelation 16:15. John writes, John the Apostle now, "Behold, I come as a thief." Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." A thief comes to steal. So John, Paul, and Peter all agree with Jesus, who says in Revelation 3 and verse 3, "I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." Do you think that Jesus Christ is going to come in the next 5 minutes? Of course you don't. Answer truthfully. That's when he's going to come. In an hour, at a time when you think not. No angel is going to announce his coming. No John the Baptist is going to announce his coming. No messenger from heaven is going to come down and forewarn us Jesus is coming. No other signs are going to be given except those that are already given. He's going to come like a thief. Like a thief, he will come at the time when he is least expected. Like a thief, he will come when no one is watching. Like a thief, he will snatch away the precious things of the earth. He'll come and take little babies. He'll take those who have not reached the age of accountability. He'll take all of those saved ones who have been made precious to him by his blood that was shed. He will come and steal away his jewels that have been formed and fashioned by the grinding of adversity and the purifying fires of sorrow and affliction. When that thief came into my house, he went into the bedroom and he took the pillowcases off of the bed, off of the pillows that were on the bed. Now he's got two sacks, okay? And he went through my wife's jewelry. Now me, I can't tell the difference. My wife could. You don't fool her with no zircon. She could look at that, and that's not real. I don't kingdom of the difference. If it's shiny, that's all it makes. But that thief, he can know the difference. He can see two rings laying out there on that dresser, and he'll reach over here and he'll pick that one up because it's a real diamond. But he'll leave this other one because it's just a piece of glass. The thief knows the real from the counterfeit. And if it's worthless and no good, he's going to leave it. By the way, when he got into my wife's jewelry, he couldn't find enough to fill up two sacks. In fact, I don't know how big a lump it made in the bottom of the one that he took. Not that much. Anyway, the Bible says that like a thief, he will take one out of the bed and leave the other. And the Bible says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Behold the Lamb. Behold the thief. And now Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, behold the Lion. You know, it's significant that this great event is announced. We know when this is coming. You've got cataclysmic events. You've got the moon turning to blood. You've got the sun going dark. You've got the waters turning to blood. You've got earthquakes and tsunamis and all of those things. Stars falling out of the heavens. Everybody's running around looking for a cave, a hiding place to conceal them from the face of him who sits on the throne. You're not afraid of God now. You can't see him. You can't see him. But I'll tell you something. When God comes, you're going to be like Adam and Eve. You're going to start looking for a hiding place. It'll be too late. This is interesting because the devil has been likened unto a roaring lion, the Bible says. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But now, a mightier lion, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has come, and who shall be able to stand? In the early days of Israel, the lions sometimes would be driven by hunger and they would attack flocks of sheep and other livestock that were unattended. They would even lay waste to villages and towns. So now Jesus comes, driven by a hunger for righteousness and a thirst for justice, will lay waste and destroy all those who have not come under the protection of his blood. He will come with a sharp two-edged sword that proceeds from his mouth, and they will be helpless before him. You're no match for God. They've heard, but they don't believe. They've been witnessed to, but they refuse the witness that's proffered. They've rejected God's grace, so they will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. But this lion appearance of Jesus will not affect the children of God. You'll notice in the context there of Revelation chapter 5, read on to the verse 6. That's just below verse 5 here. He said there, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And verse 6 says, and I beheld. He was called on to behold, so he beheld. And lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lion. Did I read that right? There stood a John, turn around. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. He turns around and looks, but he didn't see a lion. He saw what? A lamb. A lamb? Boy, there's a big difference between a lion and a lamb. But he saw a lamb as it had been slain, as it had been killed, as its blood had been spilled to cover the sins of mankind, to take them away. Behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. But what does he see? He sees John the Baptist, Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, friends, how do you see him? When he comes, will you behold him as a lion or as a lamb? Will you be ready at his coming? I urge you to turn to him today, to believe his word, to accept him, and let him be the Lamb of God that takes away your sin. Would you please? Let's stand together and have a verse of invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his love for us. Thank you that he died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. If there's one here today, Father, with sin on their heart, we pray that they will come to Jesus and let him remove that sin, restore them to the fellowship of his grace, and be unto them a Savior, a Lamb, instead of a lion. And we'll give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
478.
Jesus is inviting you to come home. Come to his home. Will you come today? Will you come? Thank you. I don't want you to go away today not knowing how to be saved. You know how, and you know who. When the time comes that the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart so strongly and shouts so loudly that you will hear him in the innermost recesses of your soul, come home. You be obedient and come. You be obedient and let Jesus come into your heart and forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Okay? Brother Raul, would you lead us, please, in our benediction?